You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you and prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW. Let us surprise you.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. And one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
This is the Sarah and Vinny Secret Show on RadioAlice.com. Just a heads up, it's not for work, it's not for kids, but it is a good time. Available right here on RadioAlice.com.
You only hear it on the Secret Show. You won't find it on your radio. Oh, maybe you're not hip enough to know that Sarah and Vinny's got a secret show.
Oh, nice.
Sarah and Vinny Secret Show for October the 2nd. It's a Tuesday. Vinny is coming in right now. So Sarah, Vinny, and Michael Franti in Studio D. Bryn and Vaughn are trying to figure out Studio C and in Studio B. Is Yuzette involved at all, or is it just Sarah?
No, she has a lot of meetings.
Sarah Lua, the baby Taj.
And?
And Hooman, of course. The number one.
Is that the baby rattle?
No, it's my maracas.
Hooman's baby rattle. How old are your other kids?
31 and
19.
Oh. Yeah, I got a good gap going there.
You do.
And you're a man-making machine.
Did you say he's a man-making machine?
Yeah. All boys. Three boys.
Do you think that this is it, or is Sara Lua going to want another baby?
Oh, no, I want one.
I was going to say Michael.
And I wasn't convinced. Sara was like, we're having two kids. And I'm like, I already got two. Like, I don't know if I can, like, add, you know, two more. And then she's like, no, we're having two kids. I'm not going to go, like, the only child route. I'm not doing
what?
That.
Because we've all what seen how that? Only children
now,
turn out.
Yeah.
Oh.
And now she's like, oh, man, I'm not sure. I asked her last night. I was like, are you ready? You ready for another one?
Well, she's not ready.
Not ready yet. Well, now's not the time.
I looked at him and I said, with a full-time nanny, sure.
Yeah, I mean, make that happen.
All right, can I ask a bunch of questions?
Sure.
Okay. Oh, you want to start? We start?
All right. No, I already pretty much started.
Sara, let's talk about the childbirth.
I just have to say one thing before we begin, because I feel like this is my third secret show, and now I'm ready for Hooman's questions. I feel like you've cornered me a few times. Now I get how these secret shows go.
All right.
You can, by the way, I don't think you guys have done a secret show since we stopped censoring them when Entercom took over.
Oh.
So no more bleeps.
No more bleeps.
If you want something taken out, you need to tell us specifically.
Okay. All right.
Bryn, hold on 1 second. Technical difficulties. I don't hear you.
You don't hear me.
Now I do.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to make sure.
Yes, that's set. Much. That's
all
good.
Right,
all right. So all Bryn
right.
Can
so they, all right. Let's rock it.
They right. wheel you in to give birth. How did it go? How was the whole process of pushing that 9 pounds?
Man, it was so
it was out.
So tough for me. It was so hard
yeah.
for me.
So
I was in there. I was pushing and pushing and pushing. I pushed for like 7 hours, and then they're like, no, your wife's supposed to push. I was like, thanks for telling me now.
Yeah, no wonder.
I pooped my pants.
That happens, man. Giving birth is no fucking joke.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
Well, it's not.
You know, Sarah gave me some great advice, because we were all out together the night before I went into labor.
Oh, that's right.
We were having dinner, and Sarah was like, you know, Sara, just do whatever feels right, you know, go the route that you feels right. And so we had a great birth. I had an epidural. I got an epidural. And
were you on the fence about that? Like, I'm going to try to be natural, or,
you know, I was never on the fence, but it was more like, I'll just see, because at UCSF, you can't do a walking epidural. Like in Canada, the hospital, you could do a walking one. So I was like, I don't want to be stuck in bed, but I labored almost the entire time at home anyway.
Yeah,
so
she was killing it.
By the time I got to the hospital, I was like, fuck this shit. Yeah. Give me the epidural.
She was in the tub at the house. and I had some candles lit.
Oh,
and
you're so sweet.
He was feeding me gummy bears.
Feeding her gummy bears in between contractions, and she's just like powering through it. Like the contraction would come on, and she would just like go into this like Wonder Woman goddess mode, and like she's just like gripping the side of the tub and like
any howling,
doing the breathing a little bit. I was telling her to howl. I was like, just let it out. Use your voice, and she was kind of going.
That's it.
And yeah, it wasn't like super intense howling, but then,
you could tell she was in
yeah,
pain.
Yeah, I could see it. I was like, you know, when you see your wife in pain like that, you're just
it's
like,
hard.
What can I do to help you?
Did you next level anything. Scream though when the baby was coming out?
No.
No,
I feel like we had a great.
No,
and you know, it's
she
funny
didn't.
When,
she just bared down. She didn't. Yeah. There wasn't really a lot of screaming.
I feel like
going
the next level screaming was happening in the car ride to the hospital.
Yeah, the car ride to the hospital got a little intense.
And I was like, seatbelt on, seatbelt off, seatbelt on. Yeah. And Michael's like,
she's crawling all over the seat. She's like, got one leg up on the window, and she's like, go around the corner. Go around the corner. This is the wrong entrance. Because we couldn't find the entrance because it was late at night and mm-hmm. they locked the main entrance.
Oh.
And so we were like, oh, there's got to be a B entrance. And she's like, this is why we took the tour. This is why we took the tour. You're supposed to know where the B entrance is.
No, I know my exact words were. Well, that's the one point. You know, people are like, oh, the woman's like, you did this to me. Like, I never had that. But we were at the wrong entrance and then we went to a second wrong entrance. And I was like, this is why we took the fucking tour. And like, that was the only moment I feel like I lost my like cool. You
well,
know?
Then you actually yeah. did pretty well.
And yeah. then we went in through the emergency entrance, and then she's, you know, I'm like, I've got a woman here in active labor, and Sarah goes, wait, you don't know if I'm in active labor, and I'm going, no, you're in fucking active labor.
Yeah, I know. I do actually know that.
Yeah,
I saw you in the car.
Yeah.
Plus, I want to hand you off to some people who know what they're doing.
And what did you say about the tub? There was debris in the tub.
There was
or something.
Debris
yeah,
in the tub.
The water's red.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure that this is.
It's active.
Yeah.
I'll never forget happening. Michael's eyes, because Michael is like so cool about everything. He never stresses. Like we'll be in a car to the airport, and I'm sweating because we're gonna miss our flight, and he's playing Words with Friends or something on his phone. And then I was like, when we're in the tub, I'm like, something's coming out of me. And Michael's like, your water just broke. We have to go. And I was like, are we sure? And he's like, there's debris in the tub. And I could just see the look in his eyes. And I was like, okay, this look is like, and he's trying to stay calm, but I could see it. And it actually makes me, like, it melts my heart when I think about it, because you can see the concern and the love he had, but he's always so, like, whatever. Like,
I was
so
just
cool.
concerned about the debris in the tub.
How are we going to get that out of there?
Is that important? Should I bring that with us?
I got to sandblast this thing now? What's going on? Like,
is it a new tub?
Yeah.
Is this your new tub yeah, and your remodel?
It's a new tub. We just remodeled. There's debris all over
just
it.
Just be grateful it wasn't the mattress, okay?
Oh, that's, you know what? She has a point.
Yeah.
I mean, it is hard to...
And then after all the labor, and then was it like smooth? Happening?
Well, no, we get in there, and they're always a little bit skeptical, like, oh, we're gonna have to send this person home, you know,
because they'll do it.
They'll do it, you know. And so we get in there, and this very nice nurse is like, yeah, you know, just get up on the table. We're gonna start putting these meters on you. And so it's like, just do it, get the thing on me. And then they're like, oh, we're gonna get this doctor to come in and we're gonna check. And then so the doctor comes in to check, and she's like, you're 7 centimeters. Let's go.
We're going.
And then,
we're
and then,
on.
And then Sarah's like, we get into the delivery room, and Sarah's like, oh, I got to go to the bathroom. I got to go poo. And then the doctor, and so she's going to the toilet, and the nurse goes, no, you can't. You're 7 centimeters. We don't want the baby to pop out into
the
toilet.
No, they were
the
like,
toilet.
You don't actually have to go to the bathroom. That's just the baby's head. And then they were like, and don't push because you're not ready. And I was like, and that's when I was like, well, then I need the epidural because I feel like I have to push.
Right.
So,
yeah, the poo's a real thing. That is it's one of the non-glamorous things that they don't tell you about, where you're just like, oh my God, did I just poop? And then the nurse is like, yeah, you did.
See, I knew, I've seen the, so I knew that would happen, and I was okay with that, and And I and wasn't the funny okay thing with too, it. In the delivery, I didn't care who was in the room.
Yeah,
either.
I care about that
it's
shit.
So
I,
interesting because like, I was just like,
didn't
in
care
my
at
zone.
All.
I didn't care. I was like,
and
I'm
she's
here.
Pretty usually pretty.
Yeah, I feel like
I'm
a pretty modest person. Yeah. Yeah. And I just couldn't get past that. Like, you know, they were like, oh, we want to bring some people in. I'm like, no. Oh. No fucking people. Like,
you
yeah.
said no?
Yeah, I said no.
We had
and
like
they don't 20, argue with you when you're pregnant.
No, we had like 20 people in there.
Holy
like
shit.
When the baby came.
Were you like playing a song and everyone
pretty
singing
much.
Along?
I mean,
and,
like,
wait, you mean like family or?
No, just it was just me and Sar and a friend
who's a doula.
So she was legit to be there. And then there was a photographer that we had hired
who
was there. But then.
Oh, so you send a text like, meet us at the hospital?
It's on.
It's on.
Exactly. Yep.
Oh,
but then
wow.
there was like three or four different nurses. Then there was a doctor. Then there was a midwife. Then there was somebody else who was like a resident.
And then
there was
groupies.
An anesthesiologist. and it was like by the time the baby came, they all came into the room to like be there for the magic moment.
So are you like looking over your giant belly between your knees at like a fucking crowd looking right at your
pretty
cooch?
Much it.
That bothers me. Like I can't do that. And it's like not looking its best, and I haven't been able to reach it to shave it for a while.
I'm surprised.
A nightmare down there.
I'm surprised by that because the place we went was super. The whole point of everything they had set up was to be calm.
Okay.
So they didn't want a lot of people in, and so it was. The lighting was actually caught like down, mm-hmm. and I was playing music, and they just kept it. One nurse was checking back in and out, but they stayed away actually until it was on, and then it was on, and it was over in minutes.
Wow!
Like
wow.
We were at UCSF, which is a teaching hospital too, and
that's
they have
it.
A team.
So they had classes that were coming in, like 30 students.
Lucky you guys, it's the Frotty family. Yeah. They're famous.
Yeah. There's 30 eighth graders who are coming
in. Famous baby coach happening.
Honestly though, we had a really great, and it's funny, Vinny, I had Michael also playing music, but like we didn't have a playlist. Like I was like, I don't care, just put whatever. And I love Jay-Z. And so he had like some old school
it was
hardcore.
Like, brum, 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 dust your shoulders off.
Nice.
Brum, 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 and the nurses are like, oh, okay, this
They're
is
like,
different.
What kind of party is this?
And so it's like turning up louder.
It's
so
a
then
baby
we had
party.
Michael's music playing when he was born, but I was doing the same thing. Like if a song came on and I wasn't into it, I was like, next. I'm like, change the song. I don't want to hear this.
It's fun though. I think music made our experience great. And that'll be stuff you remember the whole time. We had the Red Hot Chili Peppers playing and just a bunch of different, you know, Bob Marley's a standby. You cannot go wrong with Bob Marley.
Great vibes.
When she was very pregnant or even before she was very pregnant, did you do like, I mean, I just can picture you with the butt of the guitar up against the belly and let the vibrations go on.
We never did that, but we did a birthing class on the tour bus.
Oh.
In the back of the tour bus. Yeah, because we were on tour so much this summer, we didn't have time to go to any birthing classes.
So people came to you.
Yeah, they came to us. So one of Sarah's friends is a birthing coach
mama
or something,
coach.
Mama coach.
Mama coach.
So she drove 3 hours to where we were in Canada on tour, and then we did a 3-hour birthing class in the back of the bus, which is pretty cool. It was really fun.
That is cool.
Yeah.
Did you do like baby yoga and mommy, what is it called, prenatal yoga?
No, I did regular yoga.
Just regular old yoga. Yeah.
She worked out the day before. Or no, the morning of, she did a really intense workout.
Dude, I was running the blocks of San Francisco in high heels the night before.
Well, that was the night that we
all
were
there.
Went out.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
The day before the Maz Jobrani show, Sarah was texting me going, can we still come with you guys tomorrow? I'm like, text me tomorrow at noon. Because I thought for sure they weren't going to. Like the baby was going to come.
Well, the baby was overdue.
You know, Sara was so tough. This whole pregnancy, she had a lot of morning, noon, and night sickness. It was like, we'd be walking down the street and she'd be like, baby, I feel like I'm going to. And then I'd go, baby, are you okay? Like, sit down, like, rest. Are you okay? She'd go, no, come on, fuck. We got shit to do. Let's go. Come on, let's get out of here.
Over
like,
it.
No, baby, are you
she
okay?
She'd
go, no, I'm good. Let's go. Let's fucking go. And that's how she is. She's like,
around with you, you know, wipe your mouth off.
She's. I saw a hardcore, different Sara than I'd ever seen before come out during this whole thing.
So, okay. So then it comes time to push the baby out. Was that smooth, easy, fast, difficult, tears? What happened?
Sara?
It was, I pushed for 2 hours. So, but they told me, see, no one tells you, like, because they come in at 4 and they're like, okay, you're 9 centimeters. We're going to come back. No, they came at 2 and they're like, we're going to come back at 4 and you're going to start pushing. And you really should rest because you could be pushing for up to 4 hours. No one told me that could happen. Yeah. Like, I don't know if I was in denial about certain things and I just wouldn't listen if somebody told me, but the pushing was great. Like, I really feel like we also had our own beautiful experience. The lights were bright. The music was loud. There was lots of people in the room, but it felt like there was nobody else in the room. And
well, you're having your own little
experience.
And this massive baby gets put on my belly, and they're like, "Oh my God, he's huge! Did you have any idea?" And I'm like, "Fuck no! I thought he was going to be 7 pounds,
like a regular size baby."
Every time we went in for a prenatal visit, we were like, "Can you tell how big the baby is?" And they would look at her and then go, "We don't say that. We don't like to say." And I was thinking in my head, I'm like, "They know.
They know.
Like
they don't want to scare
a giant baby. They don't want to freak her
right."
Out.
Well, that would freak you out, you know. Hey, so one of the things we talked about at dinner the night before you had the baby was that, you know, I think it's a misconception that people think you get like a spinal epidural, whatever, and that you don't feel it. Like, you're still fully there. Like, did you think to yourself, because I remember going through it and he's all, my doctor's like, push through the ring of fire, push, like he was so dramatic. It was hilarious. Oh,
who was your doctor, Johnny Cash?
I know, right? Dr. Gallen, hey, yo. But he, you know, I really thought this will, you know, it'll take the pain away. Yeah. And it doesn't. So I always wondered, like, oh God, you know, imagine if I hadn't had that, how bad it would have been. So, I mean, like, you're still fully there. You still feel it. Why are you looking at me like that, Hooman?
Oh, because I wanted to watch your expression. Because you're so far from us. Nobody can see anyone.
I know, we can't see.
So when I can sneak a peek, I will.
All right.
No, I did think about, I did remember that you said that, Sarah. And I remember, like, you do feel the contractions, especially, you know, near the end.
Right. And as you're pushing, I mean, it's no joke. Totally. It's not like, oh, this is no problem.
I support women in whatever way they choose to deliver their, you know, birth their babies. And I 100% I support epidurals.
Yeah, you do.
You know, Vinny,
I was like, why doesn't everybody do this?
Well, it certainly takes the edge off. But, you know, Vinny's girlfriend, she went totally natural this last time.
So
I know.
So she did it the first time with an epidural. And for whatever reason, afterward, there was like her back really hurt from it. And so her thing was, if I can do it without that, the pain after was worse than the pain during.
Wow.
Yeah.
So for her. So I don't know if they did a bad effort. I don't want to.
Who knows?
I don't know the deal was. But so she tried to do it without, and she made it. And it, like I told you guys when I told you the story, it just, like, it was on, and then there was a baby.
Yeah.
Like, she was.
She didn't push for 2 hours.
She was on her side, actually, and I was sitting right by her, and we had some music going, and then what did she do? She retched like she was going to throw up, and the baby's head popped out.
Wow.
And they were like, oh my God, the baby's here. And it's like, she never even got to get all the way on her back. They opened the leg up, but kept her on, like, I want to say it was her right butt cheek. All of that was happening on her right butt cheek as she was balanced. I'm holding a leg and there's another leg and the baby's.
They were like, we were just about to get the scented oil treatment going. You haven't even got the full treatment of this relaxation.
Yeah, we want to relax your perineum. Yeah. We need to stretch that out naturally.
No, it was that happened fast. And so I think if it had been a longer experience for her, she might have gone epidural. Certainly after the fact, she said, I did that wrong. Like, you probably, not knowing the pain, go into it thinking you can do natural the first time.
Right.
And then who knows whether you pull it off or not. But to make it the goal the second time, she thought she probably should have switched that.
Right, done it natural the first time.
Right.
And, you know, I put put a disclaimer on this. Just let people know that this is a full-on birth story.
Yeah,
you
graphic.
Know, poop.
Graphic poop.
Speaking
of poop.
Retching. Oh,
so right. Taj has this, after about, he's about 6 hours old and he has his first little cute meconium poop. Little, like,
the black one.
Black,
the black
tar,
sticky
stuff, you know. It's really cute. And then we're thinking, okay, he's supposed to have a bowel movement every day or something, or two a day or whatever. I don't know. But he doesn't have one.
Mm-mm.
And then day two, doesn't have one. Then day three, doesn't have one. Then we're going to the pediatrician and we're like, he hasn't pooped, you know. And the pediatrician's like, well, okay, It's Friday now. Like, if he doesn't have one on Saturday or Sunday, then, like, call us because there could be some obstruction or something. And I'm thinking, like, obstruction? He's a baby. Like, what did he eat? Like,
right.
Did, you know,
right. He didn't pop a quarter in there.
Was it one of the gummy bears I gave Sara when she was in labor or stuck inside him or something? And so, so then later that night, we get home and I'm changing him and I'm like, oh my God, I think he's got to poop. He's got, oh yay, he pooped. And we're like cheering for him. Yeah, dude, you pooped. This is awesome. Taj is so great. And I take the diaper and I open it up. And then as I'm wiping him, it was like, you ever see the Squatty Potty video on like YouTube? It's a little zebra, a little a unicorn who poops sherbet, like rainbow sherbet.
Oh, sure. That's cute.
Okay. Yeah. It's he starts pooping and it's like a sherbet machine coming out, like
just
soft serve, just poop, just
a nice swirl.
Just coming out. And I'm like, and I'm trying to catch it basically like in my hands because I'm changing him on the couch.
This is the first few hours?
No, this is three days.
After he hasn't pooped for three days.
Got it.
So he starts pooping again. So I'm like, oh, good. Okay, it's done. And I take the diaper and I pull it away and we're kind of laughing about, oh, he pooped a second time. And then all of a sudden, more poop starts coming out. I grab another diaper. I stick it under there. And just another flow of poop starts coming out. And we're like, well, now we're really laughing. We're like, this is so great. Oh, it's a, you know, it's his third poop in a minute or two. And so then we're like, okay, slowly cleaning him up and getting him dressed. And then, and he's still like sitting there naked. And then poop, like a minute later, poop number four happens like right in a row. And
he was just backed up.
And
was he in distress?
Poop watch
or was
is for real,
yeah,
though.
Yeah.
Like, what, that description? Oh, I just heard something too.
Yeah, what's happening here? Is the mic pooping?
No, she just saw her sneezed and now she's spraying her hands, cleaning her hands.
Did
stuff.
She turn her mic off?
No.
No, we got a buzz.
Yeah, I don't know where the buzz something came just from. Changed.
Oh, anyway. Already. That first poop watch is for real. Like, you start to get worried. Like, this kid's not pooping.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so that was, I've never seen that.
A little chocolate saucer.
Yeah, like, literally woo! Shit show. But
it was a shit show.
Yeah.
So then,
God, there's so many. It's just like every time you hear about baby poop, you like, you think of all your experiences just like covered in baby poop.
Well, the baby poop is not the problem. The it's the adult poop that the babies eventually make.
About a year old, like, start getting unreal food.
Yeah. It's like they start getting unreal food, and then one day you just wake up and you open the diaper, and it's like, what did like Uncle Bob just sneak in?
Who pooped in your diaper?
Did Hooman just come in the baby's room, take a dump in the baby's diaper, and reseal it?
Hooman?
Because that's how bad it smells.
Well, it smells horrible. Plus, it's like totally adult looking, like it's an intact thing.
Let me ask you a question. This is just came to me as I. Yeah, it is gone.
Okay.
You guys aren't doing cloth diapers, are you?
No, we're not.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can see why you would, and I know that you're a pretty environmental guy. But
I had before with my other kids, and I had actually requested it, but because we're leaving on tour right away, there's just no way we could do it on tour.
You know, there's an argument, just to set your mind slightly at ease, yes, it's a landfill thing, but it's also a bleach and water thing.
Yeah.
Like that, you know, if you're using cloth diapers, it is as taxing. The best thing you can do is potty train as early as possible.
Yeah,
that's what they say.
Yeah.
You know, just feel no guilt.
Yeah.
You're also not using water and not adding bleach to the ecosystem. So
I have one final question about the baby.
Yes.
Oh, a final question.
Where's Sara, by the way? She's
here. She's coughing and sneezing.
Oh, poor thing. Is she having an allergic reaction?
I couldn't help but notice you saved the placenta.
Oh, what
you did?
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about that.
Yes,
yeah.
let's do.
Well, my other kids, we saved their placentas and we planted a tree on top of their placentas.
How did the trees do?
They did well. They did. They thrived.
Are they still trees that are within your family?
They're close by.
Oh, good.
In Bali, they have where we live part of the time. We have a hotel in Bali and we live there part of the year. They have a belief.
Soulshine, is that
it? Soulshine, is it? They have a belief in Balinese culture that the placenta is actually the spiritual twin of the child. So when the baby is born, you plant in the ground, or you just bury it in the ground in the front of your house. And what people do is they'll put like these stepping stones on top of where the placenta
like
is.
Like a marker. So,
like a marker. And then it's like the entrance to the house.
Oh, neat.
Yeah. So like you have all your kids like markers there. And it's a real serious thing. Like to not do that is like it's like you're like the soul of the child's twin is like forever
in limbo
lost or, in limbo right. or whatever.
Purgatory.
You know? So we had asked for the placenta to be saved for us because we wanted to plant it. And so then when it was, you know, we'd spent 2 days in the hospital and it was time to leave, they come and they go, oh, you know, we got some bad news for you. We can't find your placenta, so you're not going to be able to have it. And,
like, and you had a lot hanging like, on that, right?
Yeah. So I'm like, well, you know, this is like, you know, this could be it could be the child's spiritual twin.
It's
you
a
know,
strongly held belief.
Forever in
find
limbo,
that thing.
You know, like find right. it. And they said, oh, it had been taken to where was it taken to, Sarah?
Pathology
to have like a test done on it. And I'm like, and now I'm thinking like, is there something wrong with our kid? Like,
right.
They're testing the placenta. Is there some like, you know, DNA
right.
issue
a thousand
or something?
Things
you know,
run yeah. through your mind.
And so then they couldn't find it. And then for like, eventually it got back to us like 4 days after we had gotten home.
They tracked it down.
They tracked
oh.
it down.
They was it? Did they freeze it or was it just like in a bag or something?
It was in a thing. I don't even know if it was our kid's placenta. They might have just like, waited for the next person. And
it was your kid's
but,
placenta.
Okay,
let's
yeah.
go with
thank
that.
You, thank you.
That's
yeah.
whose
that makes
placenta
me feel better.
It is.
So we did plant a beautiful magnolia tree.
Oh. At your house?
Here.
Yeah. In San Francisco.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Cool.
Are you going to bring some of it with you to Bali or the?
No, it's all. It's, all,
it's in. All it's a yeah, magnolia it's tree,
magnolia
and that's
tree.
That.
And we
that's
said it. A little prayer for him. And yeah, it was really beautiful.
Yeah. Cute.
Sarah's
well,
mom was
and
there.
See the tree and everything.
Yeah. That's the tree's
nice.
Already blooming. Tree's got big magnolia.
That's really neat.
On it. Yeah,
that's really neat.
I know it is kind of neat, and it's fun to you know, especially if you stay in that house. You've been in that house for a
yeah.
long time, and to
yeah.
watch that tree get big, and to yeah. for Taj to know that that's his tree.
Yeah.
I actually really like that the story you told with the stones mm-hmm. to the house. That's neat.
Yeah,
yeah. It's kind
pretty
of a cool,
yeah.
cool way to do it. So.
Let's
we can do some bad advice.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Let's do it.
But I did sort of want to ask you about something that you mentioned on the air, and it was mm-hmm. about anxiety and depression. And,
yeah.
You know, you're a person that I think of as being like a pretty weirdly stress-free. I know mm-hmm. that's probably not true,
not true
and
at
not
all.
Anybody,
yeah.
you know, no one yeah. knows you probably the way Sarah does or, you know,
yeah.
people who are super close to you in your life. But it's interesting because, you know, you hear so much, especially these days, mm-hmm. and even Entercom is doing this whole, like, you know, mental health.
Yeah.
Talking about that all the time. I don't know if you want to say too much about that, but I, you know, it's interesting
yeah,
to me to
know,
hear that someone who I think of as centered as you.
My whole adult life, ever since I was a teenager, really, I've had insomnia because I just worry. And I worry to the point where I just, like, I worry myself
so
into
you're grinding
it.
On something instead
yeah,
of sleeping.
And then I wake up and I'm either depressed because I haven't, like giving it any voice and try to stuff it in or I just I've had moments of, you know, anxiety and panic attacks, you know.
Have you?
And yeah. And you know, a couple of things that have helped me a lot with it. One is yoga, but the main thing is just learning to be able to talk to other people about what's going on, you know, and SARS good for that. I have other friends in the band that are good for that, but it's been a journey for me. I grew up in an alcoholic family. And so in my family, my dad was alcoholic and rageaholic. And so nobody wanted to ever
so if he would be confronted
him. There was never,
about it.
Yeah, so there was never so there was a lot of just tiptoeing around.
Eggshells.
So I was on eggshells all the time. Everyone's keeping everything that they have like bottled in. And also I was adopted and I didn't ever feel like I was that way. I always felt like I was a pretty demonstrative person. So
wait, so this is your adopted
yeah,
dad?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So getting out of the house and like moving to San Francisco for me and like, you know, I landed and I was going to University of San Francisco. And so I landed like four blocks from Haight Street. And now suddenly being this kid who is this like, you know, kind of really repressed and you know, sunken in kid. And then I land on Haight Street and I was just like, blah! You know, like party and
so you
and
came here to go to university.
Yeah,
that's
came here
when
to
you
go to university
at 18.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So San Francisco for me was like a way to, you know, of coming out,
a new birth,
you know,
rebirth,
yeah,
almost.
Yeah. And And so that, along with that came, you know, it's good things and bad things. You know, when you're partying a lot and you're in rock and roll and you're...
Right. It can be a quick downward spiral there, too.
Were you in music already at that point?
I was. So when I started my first band when I was 19, and we started touring right away. And being, you know, like in the punk rock world, there's just, it's like...
Not to cut you off, but this band is the band that was in that... The Billy Joe's.
Yes. Yeah.
That's the band you're talking about.
Yeah, the Beatniks. Yeah. The Beatniks. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And so, you know, the thing about music is that it's this great way to. I actually talk about it in my film, Stay Human. I say, you know, that, you know, all of us are given these gifts to try to figure out who we are and our place in the world. And, like, for some people, if you're like a physicist, you're given mathematics to help you understand the world, or if you're a doctor, you're given biology to help you understand how the world works. And I always think it was a cruel joke that I was given music, you know, like it doesn't really help you but understand the world. But what it did for me is, like, one part of it helps you to go into your emotions and, like, have a place to write about
and release
things
it.
And release
sure.
stuff.
Right. Get it out.
But on the other hand, in rock and roll, it helps you to run away from shit.
Because the lifestyle that can accompany it.
Yeah, it's like you have problems, go out on tour. You have more, you know, your
road life is a
road
bubble.
Life. Yeah, and then you find sex when you're bummed out. Go find somebody to have sex with, and you feel better. You know, and so
right.
It's like rock and roll is both. It can help you to understand things, but it can also really be a crutch for you to not deal with stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, and so for a lot of my life, that's how I was, you know. And I feel like Sara over the last 10 years has gotten the best of me, you know. She got the good side of it,
right?
But it took me it took me 15 years of being like an angry, pissed off punk rock kid and to figure out a lot of those things.
I never think of you as being angry and pissed off and you know.
The movie that you guys that you were part of was mm-hmm. Billy Joe's sort of project about East Bay punk, right?
Yeah.
I forget what it was called.
Oh, man, I forget what it's called, too. But it was really great to be part of that because all of us, we grew up in that thing. So
yeah,
like,
you were here.
Yeah, so there's Operation Ivy, which begat, you know, Rancid
right.
and Green Day. And then, you know, Jello Biafra. My first record was on the Dead Kennedys record label.
Sure.
And, you know, all these great bands. And this, it was really a scene out at Gilman Street in Berkeley, the club there was... It was really, you know, it was ran as a, I think it's still there, as a nonprofit nightclub, you know, and bands who would never imagine getting a gig anywhere else could get, because they were too weird or too extreme or too political or whatever, you could go and play at Gilman Street. And it became a real social gathering point for misfits, basically.
So did you do actual therapy? In order to start to uncork some of this shit.
So when I got it when I became a young adult, I started going to ACA, which Adult Children of Alcoholics, to sort of unravel that component of my life of growing up in this alcoholic family. But then I started doing individual therapy and couples therapy with my then wife, and it really helped me a lot. And I really advocate it. I feel like anytime you talk to anybody about what's going on deep inside your heart, you're going to benefit from it. But when you have that kind of controlled environment with somebody who's there just for you,
mm-hmm.
It can make it be faster.
Well, and they can direct the
you,
way the
yeah.
conversation goes,
yeah.
even by not saying too much.
Yeah.
It is nicer to have it on the outside mm-hmm. than on the inside.
Yeah.
You a lot hold of
it up
times,
and look at it, and it's not as bad.
A lot of times, too, I think if you stay inside your head, anything that you're thinking might become this too gruesome, too big, too ugly, can't shit. And then you tell it to someone, and they go, "So?
Yeah.
We all feel that way.
Yeah.
Why are you? You are not alone. You are just one of.
Yeah.
You're another human being that feels all of the same crazy thoughts we all do.
Yeah.
And it makes. That relief is like, oh,
yeah,
I'm okay.
And I'm okay.
That's one of the things that I've discovered with this film. It was like, well, how can I sum this whole movie up that I did? And I realized as I was like writing, you know, I was writing for a couple weeks about like, how can I sum, you know, the summation of it? And it was like, none of us are born perfect. And that's the thing that we all have in common, that all of us are born imperfect. And that you get in life what you search for. So if you're searching for negativity, fear, everyone's racist, everyone's sexist, everyone's, you're going to get that for sure. You'll find that. But if you search for positivity and you search for connection and you search for friendship and if you search for love, you'll find those things too. And that's how I am today as an adult. And that's why my music has changed over the years. And people are like, you're less political or something than you're ever. And I feel like I'm not. I feel like I'm more political than I ever have been because I'm more engaged actually doing stuff socially rather than just writing about it. I'm out there working, you know, with the things that I feel passionately about. Like, for example, don't lock up children. Like, that's a pretty basic one. Like,
right.
Believe women. That's a pretty basic right. one. Like, military weapons should be for the military and not for 18-year-old kids. You know, like, these are basic things.
The kind of no does.
Yeah. And so, like, I'm out there working to promote those things that I believe in. But my music is about who I love and who I care about and the person that I want to be in the world. And so, yeah, that's why I write the songs that I do, and that's why I make the films that I do, because I want other people to know that being joyful, being a happy person can also be the greatest act of resistance, you know?
So Stay Human is November 17th. It's going to be
17th.
At the North Theater.
At the North Theater.
Here in San Francisco, Hayes Valley.
We'll do a Q&A afterwards, which is always really fun. Sara jumps up there with me on these Q&As. She kind of, she's like the, Sally Jesse Raphael.
Should she moderate?
Yeah, she moderates.
Oh, who is she trying to take your job as chief moderator in the world?
And then we rock out. Then we play some music. I play a bunch of songs that are in the film and
that's a good sized theater too. So there's tickets are on sale now.
Tickets are on sale now.
Yeah. You can go to stayhumanfilm.com.
Yeah, or michaelfronti.com.
Sure. Yeah. Or radioalice.com. I'm sure we put all the stuff. So that's it. Do you want to play something?
Sure.
I want to. I was going to do a bad advice, but I'd much rather hear a song.
Yeah, let's
do Sara, thank you for the nice stories about, the real stories about. Having the baby.
Sorry, I think you should come in here and sing.
That guitar is not nearly as road beaten as your others.
You know, it's funny. This is like beautiful, super nice guitar that this company made for me. And this morning, my other guitar is out on the tour bus because I leave tonight to go to New York. We play a show in New York tomorrow. And so I was like, let me bring this pretty one today and see if it sounds any better on the air. So,
well, it sounds good. I don't know if
come
it
in
sounds
here,
better, but...
You coming in?
Is she coming in?
Oh, she'll come in. She's coming in.
Is she under,
okay. Human, hold
is
the
she
baby.
Under the baby? Because no. She could sing from there, but it's...
Oh, yeah. Do you want her to sing from in here?
No, I want her to do what she wants to do.
Yeah, she'll sing from in here.
Oh, okay, cool.
Okay.
She wants to know what song you're singing.
But do Just to Say I Love You.
Just to Say I Love You.
Okay, ready? I can't tell you how I feel with flowers, 'cause they can't tell you what I'm trying to say. And I've been looking through my heart for hours, but my mind is always in the way. And I've been searching for words so perfect, trying to find a better way just to say I love you. Say I love you. Just to say I love you. Just to say I love you. Sound good, Star. We had ups and downs for years now, and we made it through the sun and rain. And I've been holding back on all these tears now, but the way I feel has never changed. And I've been searching for words so perfect, trying to find a better way just to say I love you. Ooh, just to say I love you. Ooh, just to say I love you. Ooh, just to say I love you.
All right, put your hands together, any old beat.
On the two
here
on
we
the
go,
floor.
Here we go, here we go. feels so right, it can't be wrong. Your love is all I ever want. Been together for so long, your love is all I ever want. DJ rock till the break of dawn, your love is all I ever want. We'll go dancing all night long, your love is all I ever want. I've been searching for words so perfect, trying to find a better way just to say I love you. Just to say I love you. Ooh, just to say I love you. Ooh, just to say I love you. Ooh. All right. Here we go, here we go, here we go. Yeah. Oh, 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 oh. Your love is all I ever wanted. Oh, 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 oh. Your love is all I ever wanted. Oh, 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 oh. Your love is all I ever wanted. Oh, 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 oh. Just to say I love you. Thank you.
Michael Franti, Sara Lua, Baby Taj, who did not make a peep during that whole thing.
No, Taj, man, you got to sing. Awake.
What's his whole name? Do you mind
Taj
saying?
Body Franti.
And Body,
Body is a Persian name, and it's Sara's great-grandfather, both on her mother's side and father's side,
oh,
had the same name. And so
body
it's a Persian name.
B-A-D-I?
Yeah. B-A-D-I.
What's Taj come from?
Taj is a Persian word, which means crown.
Oh.
And you know what's funny? Ade pointed out to me, he's my other son. He goes, you know, Dad, all three of us boys are named after headwear. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he goes, well, his name, Ade, also means crown. I mean, and in Yoruba, West African language. And then Cappy, our son Cappy, Cap. He goes, all three of us are, they're named after headwear. So
that's really funny. Yeah. So you have a daughter named Tiara or something.
Yeah. Our next, yeah, Tiara.
Oh, what if you had a
daughter?
And
our next boy will be Snapback.
Well, it's always great to see you. I can't believe you're off on tour. And,
I know.
And Sara going?
So Sara's going to stay here. And then we come back. We show the film at the Mill Valley Film Festival on the 8th. And then on the 10th, she's going to hop in the tour bus with me, hopefully.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. If it's all feeling good, you know.
Yep.
We're kind of like just letting it feel how it needs to feel. But I really want them on the tour bus, and I miss them. You know, I was gone for 48 hours, and I was going crazy.
I'm like, are you sure you're up for it? And he's like, I'm down.
Yeah.
Well, it's a nice little anchor. It's a nice, you know, to have them.
Well, you live on the road.
I live
on
the road
your whole life.
Yeah.
So that's normal to you.
You know, the kids, they change so much. Like, I went away for 48 hours and I look at him and he looks different. And I'm like, man, I can't get that back.
I missed 48 hours.
Do you get, like, I got to get out of here if you're home too much?
It's not that I'm home too much. I feel like we travel so much, even when we're home. Sara
right.
and I are always all over the place. But when I start working on a record and the record is almost done, I start itching like, oh, I want to go play these songs out. And usually what I do is I write a batch of songs and then we go out and play them. And then I go back in and record them after I've sort of tried them out. Because sometimes you make a record in this like beautiful air conditioned studio
right.
and it feels all good. And then you get out on stage and you play the song and it goes, God, it feels like we're in air conditioning, not in like a sweaty, like festival.
That's interesting.
And so then
it needs to live.
It needs to live. And then you go in and
see if it works or not. You might hate it when you play it live.
The tempo might be too slow or too fast, or the key might be too hard for you to sing live. You could sing it in the studio when you're in front of a really good mic, but you get on stage and your voice.
Relax with
those,
your tea.
Yeah, and your voice can't hit those high notes anymore. And so you got to figure out those things. And then sometimes you go out and you play a song and it just sucks. Like the audience just like, oh, what are you getting?
Oh, like no reaction to it.
Clunk.
Okay.
Just midway through the song. Enough of that one.
Yeah.
That is it. Well, good luck with the film. It sounds like it doesn't need any.
Yeah.
It's already getting is this going to be on demand at some point?
Yes.
Great.
So when the album comes out, which will be in the new year, like at the end of January, album comes out and the film comes out, people will be able to like bundle it, like you can buy it online and it'll come with the film, like
cool.
on iTunes or whatever.
That's great.
And then it'll go up onto later in the spring. It'll go up onto all, you know, all the streaming platforms, Amazon, Netflix, you know.
Nice.
iTunes, all those things.
I'll be able to say it right into my little walkie-talkie remote.
Yeah, you just say it in.
Stay human.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. It's always great to see you. I know you're busy. So, and Sarah, thank you. I know it's a lot to bundle the baby up and get in the car and head anywhere. So, although I suppose you got to get used to it if you're going to go out on tour.
And we always love seeing you guys.
Well, we love seeing you guys.
We do. We listen, and when we're on the road, we listen.
Yay.
And then when we get to be here, it's like super fun.
Well, you're here with your family.
Yeah.
You know.
We're here with our family.
All right. Yeah. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great job, everybody.
Right on.